You're listening to Making Life Brighter Radio, and this is our special outtake with our first interview with Commander-in-Chief Russell-J. Gould. And last week, we heard from Sergeant Robert Horton, who summarized the history of what Commander Gould has done and how he captured the American flag and the Title IV flag, if I can say that correctly, and changed all of the constructs of our system to now time. Additionally, logging in as the Postmaster General and controlling and creating an entirely new quantum banking system. So that's just a brief summary. What this man has done is historical, and it's epic, really. There's so much that you've done. I can't believe that someone hasn't even given you accolades for what you thought and how you did it. Welcome back, Russell.
it's a pleasure to be here. Let me just kind of dive in on some of the things that happened in my world, some of the trials and the things that I've been through. So when you watch the Warcastle series, you kind of see cliff notes of me talking about trials and some of the things, the battles that I've been in to authenticate and hold to maintain the continuance of the evidence on the flag. So like in my world, the fiction world is very aware of this, and they're always wanting to learn more. So they'll do things like 17 years after the fact, after statutes of limitations have run out on certain concerns, they'll take those warrants and try to re-mail them to me and try to start up all over again, of course, changing case numbers, fooling the people, and acting like that they got something, which the statutes already have run out on. So it's a continuous try to get me to surrender on the smallest of things. Right. Because if you'll bend knee on the smallest of things, they know they've got you on the largest of things. So it's always having conscious comprehension of the facility and usury that has happened around me. So as they try to send contracts from me from 17 years ago saying, oh, wait a minute, we got this, and they change a little case number, take out a hyphen, they breach all the continuance of evidence, the statutes of limitations have run out on things, and they try to reestablish, it's the smallest. So I have to constantly battle the smallest of things for the bigger picture. And people that are just don't see that in my day-to-day walk. And, I'm not someone that's really in the limelight a whole lot because I've chosen, if you've met me and I'm a pretty humble, pretty easygoing, pretty low-key guy, quiet, but I'm very passionate. And the naturalization of where I've come from is definitely everywhere in my life. So it's for me, the private sector, the citizens of the world, they don't get to watch how the government constantly bombards me with the smallest of things.
And so what's going on right now? Are you involved in these things?
Constantly. People trying to get involved in things where judges have already disqualified themselves, and one of the judges actually apologized to me, of course, off record. One of the judges died, and he apologized to me too. And so I kind of get to see a different side of things. I'm not afraid of any of it because I know that I'll stand my ground. All they can do is kill me. That's about it because I'll never surrender. I don't like the physicality that they bring. They're always trying to get me to book in and get my fingerprints and all that. So that's a hassle because it gets real physical and violent. But the general public doesn't really get to see that in me.
See some of that. Is there anybody that's been witness to that, that knows that those things have happened and that you...
I have a gentleman that's been with me a long time. His name is Melvin-Edward-Gustin. And he was a witness to some of these cases way back when. And he just marvels. He's like, how in the world could they try to bring things up that the statutes of limitations have run out on? He just like, man, they just... constantly try to discredit me in the community. The citizens should know what's going on. I'm going to tell you a really interesting thing, and it kind of changed my perspective. As you know, I disqualified the Federal Elections Commission and the presidencies and all this and this and that. But Robert-Leroy-Horton, because I was I was wanting to go back to work. I was raided by vice squads of the fumbling, bumbling idiots, otherwise known as the FBI synthetic, were stealing technology from me on a certain molecular structure that I was manufacturing, platinum, ammonium chloroplatinate exactly is what it was. And they were stealing my concepts from me, and unbeknownst to me, and came in and shut me down, raided my labs during the last administration, the Obama administration, because they couldn't quite figure out what I had done. But what they did is they took my concepts, they gave them to Monsanto, and Monsanto bought all the stockpiles of all the material that I was using on planet Earth. So they were stealing from me. The big corporations were stealing from me. These are some of the things that I get to deal with on a day-to-day basis, right? The FBI comes in. They don't advertise, of course, as the FBI. They buy my material. They try to set me up. They try to figure out what I'm doing. Then they turn around and give that to, like, Monsanto. They gave it to Monsanto, who then came in and bought up all the stockpiles of this specific material that I was using, which they didn't know what it was, right? They didn't comprehend quite what it was at the time. So they steal my concepts. Another thing, people stealing the quantum banking. But everybody's always stealing from me. So I sit back and I just marvel at this. Well, long to the short, I was like, well, Horton, Robert Ivan Leroy Quillen Horton, my treaty captain, was like, hey, you need to come down and talk with Secret Service. So we went down, and this kind of changed my perspective about things a little bit. So I just kind of want to let you know where I'm coming from. And I took my family down, and we went to the headquarters of U.S. Secret Service in Washington, D.C., on a military base. And they sat down with they were like this. They were like, I was telling them about being raided and the things. And like, and I was like, look, I just want to provide a living for my family. I says, I don't want to change your global economies. I can do that at a snap of a finger. I can take everybody out of poverty. And they're like, well, as long as you don't take people out of poverty, you can, you know, you're a good guy, right? You can go, you know, manufacture precious metals. So it kind of changed my perspective about who's in there now, because they were, you know, I was like, all I want to do is work. I'm not going to change your economies. I'm not going to take people out of poverty. I'm just going to, you know, manage for me and my family and make a living. And then Secret Service was like, hey, you know, and this changed my perspective about everything. They said, hey, Russell, you're a good guy. I'm like, I am a good guy. You know, so it kind of made me feel good about all the battles, and they were at least cognizant that what I've set up is for the good, even though I can't agree with them, you know, and what they do and some of the constructs. But they were cognizant that my condition of thinking is for the good for the planet. And I said, you know, I'm not going to change out economies. I'm not going to provide for planet Earth at this time. If the planet wants me to at a later date, that's a different concept. We'll cross those bridges if we need to. But right now I can, you know, so I was able to go back to work. Felt very good. I got to learn a bunch of things. You know, the wonderful thing about our journey here is it's a constant learning.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I knew, and I knew, know a lot about the platinum, but then I got to learn a lot about the gold. And so it was a real wonderful time that I got to go back to work and pretty, you know, at a later date, use that technology to help our, you know, imagine if you are here, you're out here working, you're struggling, you're in the military, you got mortgages, you're just an average farmer, you know, you're battling the day-to-day market manipulations of the hogs, the cattle, the wheat, the barley, and all the things that come into the manipulation. And all of a sudden, you know, you run into my story and you're like, what? And you don't really have the time to set up to take in all the infrastructure that's been built for the planet. So radio shows like yours and others, you know, people get to see a little bit about me, but the world does not really know me. The judicial systems do, because they constantly nitpick me and drag me into the fights and constantly try to get me to surrender. But I will never surrender. It's just how it works.
Well, why would these people be on board with you? Why wouldn't there? What will it take for these? That's a better question. What will it take for these people to be on board with a better system that is more exact and that is to the benefit of the people or the world?
Sadly, there's only one or two things. Now, I've been very kind, and I've killed them with kindness and peace and happiness, even though I was in major strife and major peril. I was only kind. But I only think they know physical force. I believe it's the only thing that goes into their mind is if you can hurt them. Sadly, it's not what I want to do, but it's sadly what it looks like, is that they believe in this might makes right sort of construct. It's a phenomenon that is interesting to look at, not something that I really want to get into. But if it has to go to that, the soldiers and the people out in the world and the police departments, they're comprehending the construct of what I've set up through just little studying and the little that I've given them, because you got to kind of comprehend those police officers are working too. They're struggling. There's a lot of bad out here that they have to deal with. I get that. But I'm not that person. I'm not in there causing strife, living, you know, driving down the road and hitting people and all. I just don't do those things. I live within my means, as humble as it is, and I share joy and happiness with those that are around me to the best of my capacity.
And you like basketball.
I love basketball. I need to retire. I do need to retire from basketball. But I do love the team concept of basketball, how it takes a really good team to overcome, you know, the better players. A team that is unselfish and willing to pass the ball and share with each other is what life is about, passing it forward, sharing concepts. And when you have that camaraderie and those type of players around you, you can beat any super squad, I promise.
Well, you have those people around you. Just that you're waiting to implement your system. So the only thing that's standing between that, from what I can discern in this, is the education or the acceptance by the masses or the people or those that could benefit from your systems to say, yes, we want this system. It seems to me the current president of the corporation is not willing yet to turn over and work with you toward that goal.
Well, I can't say that. I'm not going to say that. What I'm going to say is, you know, because of his education and my education, there are some differences, you know, and when I look at the mechanics of how he conducts himself, it's, you know, it's very sloppy, right? Because he's just missing so much. I'm not there to point out his flaws and look at what's actually happening there, because I'm not there to embarrass anyone. Right. In return, he probably looks at me as just some, you know, guy on the streets with a concept. Who knows, right? I'm not in his position. I'm not going to be judgmental towards him or them or whatever he's got behind him. But when I look at his mechanics of education, it's really, really, you know.
But it's we're talking about him accepting and being the authority that would say yay to this system and say, let's work together. Have you ever spoken with these people? Have you spoken with the banking families that would say, you know, okay, all right, you win, here we go. Well, how can everyone benefit?
The banking families have mainly sat in a position of mockery of me, and they're very frustrated about their lack of authorization in banking. So they have been, and you were at the table with them. You mean you can give your testimony of, I mean, how I treat them. I don't treat them as a superior, as you witnessed, right? I treat them as
well. I didn't even know I was at the table with them.
Yeah.
That was the thing. I didn't know that.
That's for your safety. That's for your safety because there are things happening that you saw were like, how in the world? You know, I could imagine.
I couldn't make any sense of that. I'm like, wait a minute, what is this?
What is going on?
it's
something to watch, and then watch them, you know, hit the panic button on me as I give closure to them about the pecking order and how.
Well,
it really
that's
works.
What I witnessed. I witnessed the gentleman next to me starting to shake and tremble, literally, like get more and more and more and more and more nervous. And I'm thinking, what? I thought this was just a financial seminar.
This is a true story. I've had. Family members who own the International Monetary Fund, and they'll call me in and they want to talk to me. So I'll, you know, go out to dinner with them or whatever, and and have go through all their security and yada, 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 and sit down with them. And then I swear to God, this one guy, I call him the bone man. He is just a little shyster, little weasley guy. Anyway, he'll meet me and be real cordial, and then he'll do this big immaculate prayer. And then the next words out of his mouth will be like, I killed 3,000 men for George Bush Sr. And he says, you're not the key master of the Vatican. He is. I'm like, and I go into my thing about him, what I thought of him. And it just, I mean, they just keep more frustrated. And then they'll march in their nuclear scientists and their quantum physicists, and they'll sit down at the table. They'll be from Korea, South Korea, and all these different Asian countries. And, you know, they want to sit down and talk to me about because they can't get around my periodic table. So they talk to me about the structures that I set up there, and they just get more frustrated and more frustrated. I'm like, your education's fake. I says, your degree's in a box. All the words in your diplomas are italicized. All italicized words on contract are misspelled, by the way, through their own federal styles manual of every country. When you have an italicized word on contract, it means it's misspelled. It's not spelled correct. Plus, it changes the font. It changes, it breaks the continuance of the evidence. I mean, all these diplomas, this is all hocus pocus, designed to allow that person's creativity to be harvested by a bigger corporation or a bigger power.
And that's how could they allow that? In other words, let's say I get my diploma and it has all that, which I have on my wall, and it is all written in that, and I've all my
certifications. You were not trained. Mm-hmm. And this is what needs to be fixed in the educational system, is we need to train our children about all the tricks and traps of the arbitrary ciphers that we get ourselves into and under communication.
Say that again, because we cut out a bit. We need to train what?
What needs to happen is that we need to educate our young, our children, when they're in elementary, about the arbitrary ciphers and communication structures that change the condition of state, and teach people about the maintaining the continuance of the evidence so they can maintain the continuance of the facts of their lives.
Well, let's talk about something that Robert touched on when I sat down with him, because this will give an example of usury, if I can say it that way. I'm still learning, by the way, all these things. So I think it takes a little while to absorb your systems, just if I can say that. It takes a bit, even if you're bright, it takes a minute to kind of download this information, because it changes your entire world as you knew it. But yeah, there,
You've been trained in adverb, verb, adjective, pronoun all your life. So for your brain to trigger and learn about what a fact looks like with a prepositional phrase and the parse syntax and the syntax that goes with that, which is the order of operation, your mind has to kind of retrain itself. So I totally get where people are coming from, 100%.
And from my perspective as a medical intuitive and an empath, I feel energy. So I feel truth. I feel when there's a little bit of a skip in energy. I feel when it's not quite right or it doesn't feel quite right. But we've technically been locked into a system where we had no choice around that. This is what is, therefore you do this. You're saying we're unlocking that system. We're changing the game. So actually it is more exact, but ironically you have more freedom. Ironically, yes, you have more solidarity, sovereignty. That's the word I'm looking for. Unto yourself.
When you crack the time and you suspend it into neutrality and you crack the fabric of time, you can then look at things and fix things from a different perspective. You see things in a different positioning so that you can harness sort of the preposition, the preset fact of the outcome of which you want to portray. Mm-hmm. And so cracking that time and harnessing things allows you to look at things from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. And then function, as you're offering to people, if I can sum this up, you're offering that they then, given more to work with, would take more of 100% responsibility to conduct themselves better and without as much strife. Therefore, it would even out and people would actually have a happier existence, and therefore there would be potentially less crime or less strife in which to deal with Possibly.
You would have performance, honorable performance between contracts so that creativity can flourish, longevity in life, longevity in health. Many of these things that we are lacking here, because you would have trust between performance from one person to another.
That's the key. You'd have trust. That is really the hinge point of everything I've been kind of dialing into here. That's really great. Now, I'm glad you said that. I want to go into that example that Sergeant Horton had touched on briefly with me when we sat down. Can you explain what it is that you've done in actually enacting one of your systems with a hospital on the West Coast? You said that you've actually done something with a hospital. So you put into motion one of these things in a hospital setting. What have you done?
Okay, so back to the corporate structure of setting up a business in a town or a community. You're always going through the Chamber of Commerce, right? Just to go get your business licenses. The Chamber of Commerce gets its authorization from the municipality, who gets its authorization from the state. And, you know, you got a tax identification number. You're going through the Secretary of State's office. Secretary of State's office then registered that to the Department of Commerce. And you're invoking all your tax construct, right? Which basically takes you back to the post office, because the post office authorizes the tax and it's all bills of lading and fee for freight. So what I did for this gentleman is, because of the martial law, I authorized his corporation through the Department of Defense and through the Secretary of the Navy's office to function as a foreign vessel in dry dock, so that as clients come into his business location, they are no longer, we changed the lingo because I disqualified the World Health Organization and the CDC, the Central Disease Control, and the American Medical Association. All that is all fiction, adjective pronouns. There are no facts. It's just total nonsense. They will only give you an authorization to practice, right? So what happens in athletic sports, or called professional sports, when you're on the practice field? Are you in the game? So what, right. I'm allowing the doctor, who had to change his lingo, but he was no longer a doctor. That's their word. He's a balancer, right? And what are we balancing? We're balancing the chemistry here of the molecular structure in the vessel. The patient is no longer a patient. They're a claimant. The claimant is not claiming he to be sick. He's claiming to be foul. F-O-U-L. So we've changed the linguistics of the words to create a biosphere, so to speak, which is outside the vacuum of the adverb verb scenario, registering it through the martial law. And we changed out the forms in which you come as you enter the vessel in dry dock, and people get claims of the life. Now, the citizens, a lot of times, will be trained in adverb verb. They will not comprehend the quantum grammar. So the forms are set up in a way that they can't actually tell that they're quantum grammar forms. So there's ways that I've set that up. But the client or the claimant has to do a lot of longhand writing. Right, and then you put a postage stamp on the condom. There's mechanics that come with the
Well, how does that benefit in the hospital setting, essentially?
Well, we're no longer practicing. You're not under the caduceus. You're then authorized for the cure, for the balance.
Well, that takes away everything that ever was before, because no one could actually substantiate a cure, even though we've had scientific proof that there are technically...
Well, it does is it does away with the mechanics for somebody to engage in subjective interpretation, because remember what I told you at the Universal Postal Union at the government. The government will only stay in future tense and past tense. They will never be there in the now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now your client or your
But all healing happens in the now from a holistic perspective. It never happens in the future, and it never happens in the past. It happens now.
It's
energetic that's now.
Correct.
So, on that note, we have much more to cover, and I would like to continue this conversation. I appreciate your